All right, Acts chapter 26, and this morning we're going to read where it is recorded in the book of Acts where the Apostle Paul stood before a king, and he was standing before a king in a very tenseful situation. Paul was under arrest, and his life was very much in jeopardy to Roman justice. He had been accused by his fellow countrymen of all kinds of crimes for which Paul was not guilty of. But he was going through the Roman court system. And Paul stood before king to give defense of himself. And Paul did something very interesting. He defended himself about that much. And then he shared his personal testimony with the king and all that were assembled there. He told them how he came to know Christ as his Savior and Lord. Paul did that, and it's recorded, that Paul's testimony is recorded three times in the book of Acts, which means that his personal testimony, the story of how he came to know Christ as a Savior and a Lord, is a very important thing for it to be recorded three times in the book of Acts. And so today we're going to talk about how to share our personal testimony. But listen to how Paul shared his on that day with this king. Acts chapter 26, starting in verse 1. Then Agrippa, King Agrippa, said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all of the things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are an expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem, all the Jews know. They knew me from the first, if they were willing to testify, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged by the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. To this promise, our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God, night and day, hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest when they were put to death. I cast my vote against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. While this occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all of the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance." Would you pray with me? Father, we love you today. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Bless us now with your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. As we have opened your word, speak to our hearts, I pray. And may we have willing and obedient hearts to your will for our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Sharing our Christian faith with others, telling others that we are Christians, and sharing how we came to know Christ and what Christ means to us in our life is very important for the Christian life and very important for every Christian to practice and to do. But I've been a pastor now for a long time, and I know that for many Christians, the thought of sharing their faith with someone else is extremely, for many Christians, extremely intimidating. For some, it's even terrifying. You know, I saw a list recently of things that people are most afraid of. Phobias. What are people most afraid of? Interestingly, do you know what was first on that list? Public speaking was first on the list. That which people are most afraid of is being asked to speak in public. Death was number two. People would rather die than speak in public. And the idea for some Christians, the idea of sharing their faith with other people can be extremely intimidating. And in fact, I've heard some sermons that I sometimes take issue with, where there are preachers who will preach that if you're not witnessing and if you're not sharing your faith, that you're not being the Christian that God wants you to be, that you're a backslidden Christian, and they go on and on and on. Well, today I'm not going to put you on a guilt trip. In fact, today I want to encourage you. In fact, today I want to give you some good news. You can share your faith with others. Not only should we, but we all can, each and every one of us. Now, there are different ways that you can share your faith in Christ with other people. Let me share with you some different ways, and you can do all of these. I can give you confident assurance you can do all of these. The first way is by inviting people to your church. Now, some would say, well, that's not evangelism. That's not sharing your faith with others, but I take exception to that. I call this come and see evangelism. On one occasion, John the Baptist, as Jesus was beginning his ministry, John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world." Well, two of the disciples, the followers of John the Baptist, heard what Jesus said, and they began to follow Jesus. Jesus is walking down the road, and they're behind Jesus, following Jesus. Well, Jesus is the Lord. He knows everything. He knows these guys are behind him. He turns around and he says, "Can I help you guys? What are you guys doing?" And they said, "Lord, we want to come and see where you're staying." Now, what they were saying is this: "We heard what John the Baptist said about you, and we want to spend some time with you. We want to talk with you. We want to understand who you are." You know what Jesus said to them? He said, "Well, come and see. Come on." Now, here's what you can do as a Christian. You can invite people to church. It's come and see evangelism. Now, anybody can invite a friend to church. In fact, Lifeway and other denominational sources will tell you that the most effective way to get somebody to come to church is for a friend to invite them. Far more effective than a preacher inviting them. A friend. You can invite others to come to church, and there is a good possibility that they will come to your church. And so this is come and see evangelism. You say, "Well, how is that evangelism?" Well, here's what you do when you invite somebody to come to church. Now, you take upon yourself this responsibility. When you invite somebody to come to church, you have the responsibility of meeting them somewhere around here, at the door, as they're coming into the building. You have then the responsibility, you've invited them to come, you have the responsibility of showing them around the church, showing them around the building, introducing them to fellow church members, and saying, "Look, I will sit with you during the service. If you're going to invite somebody to church, then you take the responsibility of making sure that they know where everything is and that they are welcome. You don't just invite somebody to come to church and then ignore them when they get here. No. You take the responsibility of making sure that their experience in your church is a good experience. Now, when they get here at church, they're going to hear the gospel in the songs we sing. They're going to hear the gospel in the sermons that are preached. They're going to hear the gospel. And so you have shared your faith with someone else by inviting them to come to church. Now, anybody can invite anyone to come to church. That's one way you can share your faith. Another way you can share your faith is by sharing with them your personal testimony, telling them the story of how you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. I love the story of Legion, that guy with all of those demons who lived in the cemetery that is told in the Gospels of how Jesus came upon this wild man who was inhabited by all of these demons, and he was living in a cemetery, and Jesus sees the guy coming, and Jesus, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, commands all of those demons to come out of that man. Remember where they went? They went into the pigs feeding on the hillside, and the pigs ran down into the lake. That is the first occurrence of deviled ham in the Bible. See, you got that. I'm so glad you got that. You're a sharp congregation. Now, that man had been set free from all of those demons. And so he wanted to follow Jesus. After he had been set free, he was clothed in his right mind. He was no longer wild. He was no longer crazy. He was sitting with Jesus and the disciples. And when Jesus and the disciples got ready to go, this man followed Jesus to the dock. They were about to get into a ship. And he said, "Jesus, I want to come with you." You see, this man wanted to be with Jesus. He also didn't want to have happen to him what had happened to him. He wanted to be sure he was free from all of those demons. Remember what Jesus told that guy? He said, "No, I don't want you to go with us. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and tell everybody you know the good things the Lord has done for you." In other words, Jesus told Legion, this man named Legion, "Go share your testimony. Go tell others what Christ has done for you." That's another way we can share our faith. Now listen, if you can talk about the weather, if you can talk about the latest ball game, then you can talk about what Jesus has done for you to other people. And so we can share our faith. We can invite people to come to church. They'll hear the gospel. You can tell people your own personal testimony. Another way of sharing our faith with others is by learning a presentation, a planned presentation of the gospel. Some years ago, Southern Baptist introduced continuous witness training. It was built on Evangelism Explosion, which was developed by Dr. D. James Kennedy, a Presbyterian pastor in Florida. I took continuous witness training. It was a planned presentation of the gospel, how to share the gospel with someone else. In fact, next Sunday morning, I'm going to share the gospel with you using a CWT presentation as a demonstration of how you can share your faith. Also, we can share the gospel by giving. Giving to support missions. You see, evangelism is what we do where we live. Missions is how we share Christ with others where we don't live, where we send our money to support our missionaries and mission work around the world. You see, as a Christian, you can share your faith. Don't be intimidated by that thought. You can invite people to church. You can share your personal testimony. You can learn a way of sharing the gospel and asking God to open up the door so that you can share the gospel with other people through a planned presentation. You can give to missions. Good news! You can be a person who shares your faith with other people. Now today I want to talk with you about how to share your personal testimony with others. And we're going to do that by looking at how Paul shared his personal testimony on this occasion. The Bible records that on several occasions when Paul stood before often hostile and unfriendly audiences, he would share the gospel with them. And he would share the gospel with them by telling them his story, how he came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Now, Paul's personal testimony, you are familiar with it. We have read it this morning, and you are familiar with it. Paul's personal testimony was dramatic, perhaps the most dramatic in Christian history. Paul's personal testimony, how he came to know Christ, was a dramatic experience that changed not only his life, but Paul's personal testimony, how he came to know Christ, changed the course of world history. Now, when you have Paul's testimony and you compare your testimony to Paul's testimony, you might think your personal testimony kind of shrivels in significance and it's not really worth sharing. How can my testimony stack up with somebody like the Apostle Paul's or even other testimonies that you have heard? I've heard tremendous testimonies of how people were in desperate situations in their life and how they came to Christ dramatically in dramatic ways. But let me assure you this. Every personal testimony is dramatic. Every personal testimony is worth sharing. Every personal testimony is powerful. There's a statement in the book of Revelation of how these saints overcame Satan. You know how these saints overcame Satan, according to that statement? They overcame the devil by their faith and by their personal testimony. Your personal testimony is powerful. It may not be like the Apostle Paul's. It may not be as dramatic as the Apostle Paul's, but your testimony is yours and it is powerful. It changed your life, did it not? And sharing it with others can change their life as well. Maybe you were not a criminal before you were saved, or a drug addict, or an atheist, or a Satan worshiper, or a worshiper of a false god. Maybe you were not abused as a child. Maybe you didn't come from a broken home before you were saved. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you were saved when you were 9 years old. Maybe your lost life before Christ was not very dramatic. But whatever the nature and whatever the content of your personal testimony, how you came to know Jesus as your Savior and Lord is dramatic, it is powerful, and it is worth sharing. And so our personal testimony is a powerful statement to the world of how Christ has changed our life, and it can change the lives of other people. Now, how did Paul share his personal testimony? His personal testimony that is recorded three times in the book of Acts follows the same kind of course. So when Paul shared his testimony, how he came to know Christ with others, how did he do it? Well, first of all, he talked about his life before he was saved. When Paul shared his personal testimony, he always talked about his life BC, before Christ, before he came to know Jesus. In these verses we've read, Paul had been arrested by the Romans. He was standing on trial before a king by the name of Agrippa who had the power either to set him free or to send him on down the line of the Roman court system. And so Paul defends himself against these false charges. But Paul, you know, Paul had to be a Baptist preacher. Paul looked at the king. He looked at all of these dignitaries in this room. And he said, man, I'm not going to let this opportunity to share my faith with all of these people go by. And so he defended himself that much. And then he shared his personal testimony that much, sharing the gospel with these powerful people. When Paul shared his personal testimony, he always began by talking about his life before he came to Christ. Verses 9 through 11, he said, I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the name of Jesus, of the Nazarene. Indeed, I did just that in Jerusalem. authorized by the leading priest. I caused many believers there to be put in prison, and I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death. Many times I had them punished in the synagogues to get them to curse Jesus. I was so violently opposed to them that I even chased them down to foreign cities. And so Paul began his testimony by talking about his life before he came to know Christ. Our personal testimony begins with who we were and what we were before we were saved. That's how you share your testimony. That's how you begin to, your testimony. This is what my life was like before I came to know Christ. Now, let me give you some good things to remember when you're talking about your life before you were saved. Number one, don't try to make your personal testimony more dramatic than it is by exaggerating or enhancing the details of your lost life before you came to know Christ. Just tell the truth. You know, don't try to say, well, you know, I want to make this more dramatic than it really is. I don't want to tell everybody, well, I got saved when I was 9 and I was in Miss So-and-so's Sunday school class and she asked me if I wanted to give my life to Jesus. That's not very dramatic. And so just don't make up stuff. Don't enhance stuff. Don't exaggerate stuff. Just tell the truth of your life, what kind of life you were living before you were saved. Don't enhance your life before you were saved. Second of all, don't glorify your life, your lost life. Now, I've heard some personal testimonies in which people focus so much on what they were when they were lost, they focus so much on what they gave up when they came to Christ, they focus so much on what they left behind when they came to Christ, you almost get the idea that they were sorry that they ever got saved. They glorified their lost life. Don't do that. Just tell the truth. It's good to remember what Paul said about his life before he came to know Jesus. Philippians 3:7. He said, I once thought that these things from my lost life were valuable. Now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. And so don't exaggerate your lost life. And don't glorify your lost life. Just give the details. And thirdly, while we shouldn't exaggerate our lost life, we shouldn't sugarcoat it either. Defend ourselves or downplay the sinfulness of our life before Christ. The Bible says before we were saved, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Before we were saved, we were a slave to sin, living under Satan's control and domination. Before we were saved, we were rebels against God. We were wretched sinners. We were spiritually blind and deceived. We were worthy of death and eternal separation from a holy God. Before we were saved, we were lost, hopeless, and helpless to make ourselves right with God. And so your personal testimony begins with your life before you came to know Christ. Second of all, when Paul shared his personal testimony, then he told the details of how God saved his soul. The Apostle Paul could tell you the day, he could tell you the time, he could take you to the place where he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And when Paul gave his personal testimony, this is something very important. When Paul gave his personal testimony, he never said he found Jesus. He always says Jesus found him. Paul was not on the road to Damascus to find Jesus. He was on the road to Damascus on his way to persecute and arrest Christians, those who were following Christ. Paul was not saved because he was looking for Jesus. Paul was saved because Jesus was looking for him. You are not the hero of your personal testimony. Jesus is. When you give your personal testimony, make it clear you're not saved because you went looking for Jesus. Don't make it sound like you did God a favor when you gave your life to Christ. The only reason you and I are saved is because of the grace and the mercy of God. We are saved not because we went looking for Jesus. We're saved because Jesus came looking for us. Jesus is the hero of your personal testimony. In spite of the fact that you were lost, in spite of the fact of your sin and your rebellion and your disobedience, despite of the fact that you were under Satan's control and his domination and in spiritual bondage, God didn't give up on me. Jesus didn't abandon me. He didn't turn his back on me. But by his grace and mercy, God sought me out when I was lost. He pursued me. And by his Spirit, he opened my mind and my heart and my life to the reality of my lostness and the truth about Jesus and my need of him. And then I confessed and repented of my sin. And I took the faith that God gave me, and I believed and I trusted in Christ. And when I did that, he forgave me. He saved me. He redeemed me. He set me free. He gave me a new life. So when you share your personal testimony, you can talk about where you were before Jesus saved you. But then you talk about how Jesus found you and saved you. Paul never made himself the hero of his personal testimony. Paul always pointed others to the greatness and the goodness of God in saving a wretch like him. And so when you share your personal testimony, when I tell others about how I came to know Christ, I'm very conscious of the fact that I want them to understand it wasn't me that was seeking God. It was God that was seeking me. And he found me even though I was lost. When you give your personal testimony, you talk about your life before you gave your life before Christ, how you came to know Jesus, and then you tell and you share what God is doing in your life now, in the present tense. Your personal testimony should never be just in the past tense. Your personal testimony should always be up to date. We should always be able to tell others what God is doing in our life now. That's what I was before I was saved. This is how God saved me. And let me tell you what God is doing in my life now. Paul told King Agrippa, "Man, I was rotten. I was terrible. I was persecuting Christians, but I was saved. And King Agrippa, I want you to know that God took me, he saved me, and then he called me to carry the gospel to the Gentiles, and that's what I'm doing." People need to know that the Christian life is not just about getting out of hell. They need to know that the Christian life is a life of meaning, a life of purpose, a life of fulfillment, a life of service, a life of worship, a life lived in connection with God, who is always at work in our life. When you give your personal testimony, tell others of how God blesses you now. You can tell others about answered prayer. You can tell others about what you're learning. You can tell others about how you're growing as a Christian. You can tell others about how God is using you. You can tell others about God's faithfulness in your life. God saved me and he continues to be with me. He continues to work in my life. You can tell them about the joys and the blessings. You can tell them about God's faithfulness in the hard and the difficult times of life. Always keep your personal testimony up to date. That's what I was. This is how I was saved. And this is what God is doing in my life now. And past, present, and then you can share with them your hope of the future. In Job 18:14, the Bible calls death the king of terrors. Death and what lies beyond terrifies most people without Christ. People without Christ have no hope of the future. They may have a vague kind of hope that something is going to work out for them. But when you talk to unsaved people about Christ and you talk about the future, the prospect of death and what lies beyond terrifies many people. That's why they like evolution. Because evolution says when you die, it's just like turning off a television. It fades to black. When you die, you just fade to black and you no longer exist. Trouble is, evolution's a lie. And that's not the truth. The Bible says that when our physical body dies, we continue to exist very much. And we have one of two destinations in the future. You can share as a Christian how you're not afraid of death. You may not look forward to the experience of dying, but you're not afraid of death and what lies beyond. In Christ, our future is secure and certain. In Christ, we have an eternal home in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:8, you can share this with somebody. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When you die and your spirit separates from your body, you're going to be with Jesus. You can share with them John 14, verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Listen to this. That where I am, there you may be also. You can share when I die, I'm going to be with Jesus. You can share with them Psalm 23, 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When you give your personal testimony, you can say with confidence, I know that I have a home in heaven. I haven't earned it. I don't deserve it. But I have a home in heaven because of Jesus. And for what He has done for me, and how He has saved me from my sins. And so I don't face an uncertain future. I face and I have a home in heaven, prepared for me by my Lord. And it's not because I'm good, and it's not because of anything I've done. It's all because of Jesus. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So when you give your personal testimony, you can talk about your old life, how rotten you were. Or you can talk about your whole life, about what a good Sunday school person you were. You can talk about how Christ found you and how you were saved. That was dramatic. That is the most dramatic moment of your life. Why wouldn't you want to share it with somebody, right? You can talk about what God is doing in your life now. The Lord saves us and He continues to be with us. And salvation is just the beginning of what God is going to do in our life. It's not the end. And how God continues to bless you, and how He hears your prayers, and how He works in your life, and how what He's doing in your life, and how He's been good and faithful all the days of your life, and how you love Him, and how your love for Him continues to grow, and how you find joy in His worship and joy in His service. And then you can talk about your assured hope of heaven. It's important for you to practice your personal testimony. Have a pretty good outline in your mind. You can memorize scripture that you can incorporate into your personal testimony. Don't tell me you can't memorize scripture. You ladies, you got that recipe for a pecan pie. You don't even have to look at it. You know exactly how much Karo syrup to put in it and how to stir it and all that kind of stuff. Y'all know that. These men, they put together stuff and, you know, they work on stuff and they don't consult a manual. Real men don't need Google. Right? We got it. We got to memorize. If you can do that, you can memorize scripture. Don't make your personal testimony too long, drawn out. Always pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you share your personal testimony in a good way and in a good spirit. But here's the point of sharing our personal testimony. The point of sharing our personal testimony with others is then to invite them to give their life to Christ. You see, you don't have to be an expert in the Bible to share your faith. You know what you are an expert in? You are an expert in how you came to know Jesus. Nobody knows that story better than you, right? You don't have to be an expert in the Bible to share your faith. You're an expert in what Jesus has done in your life. The point of sharing your personal testimony is then to invite others to give their life to Christ as well. In Acts 26, 27, when Paul got through sharing his personal testimony, you know what he asked old King Agrippa? He said, King Agrippa, do you believe? Do you believe? Are you willing to believe? King Agrippa, he didn't believe. He turned away from Paul's testimony. But I guarantee you, there were times when that old rascal would lay down in his bed at night and he would think about what Paul had said, what Paul had witnessed to him with. And who knows, maybe somewhere down the line, it's not recorded, maybe one day he did give his life to Christ. See, the point of sharing your personal testimony is then to offer an invitation. Wouldn't you want to know Jesus as I know Jesus? Be ready to lead somebody in a sinner's prayer. If they say, yeah, I want to believe. I want to believe. Well, how do you do that? Now, there's a lot of debate these days about sinner's prayer and all that kind of thing. But listen, here's how you share that with somebody. Well, this is how I gave my life to Christ. I knelt before the Lord and I confessed my sin. Now, I didn't name them one by one. I just told the Lord I was a sinner. I had sinned against Him a million times in my mind and in my heart and in my life and every way. And I'm sorry that I'm a sinner. And then I told the Lord, Lord, I don't understand it all. I don't understand it all. But here's what I believe. I believe what the Bible says. I believe you died on that cross for my sins. I don't know how you did that. I don't understand everything about it. But I believe it with all of my heart that when you were on that cross, you died for me. And I believe you rose again. And Jesus, today, I confess my sin, and I want you to come into my life, and I want you to save me from my sin, and I want you to be my Savior, and I want you to be my Lord, and I give my life to you. That's how I was saved. That's how you can be saved as well. See, the point of sharing our personal testimony is then to say to the one we're sharing it with, don't you want to give your life to Jesus? Now, when you share your personal testimony, you might be a seed planter. You might be planting a seed. There may not be a harvest immediately. That person may not believe immediately. But you might plant a seed. I guarantee you they'll never forget it. I guarantee you they will never forget what you shared with them. And who knows, down the road, maybe the Lord will supplement the seed you planted, and there'll be other things coming to their life, and finally they'll come that day when they want to give their life to Christ, just like you did. Now, if you're a Christian, you have a personal testimony, and it's powerful, and it is dramatic, and I would encourage you, when God gives you the opportunity, to share it with others. And if He doesn't give you the opportunity, make one to share it with others. If you don't have a personal testimony, maybe you're saying, wait a minute, I don't know about all this before Jesus and what He did in my life. And I just assumed I was always a Christian. My mom and dad came to church and I grew up in church. And I just assumed I am a Christian. I don't know about this giving your life to Jesus thing. Listen, if you don't have a personal testimony, then you may have churchianity, a relationship with the church, but you don't have Christianity. You don't have a relationship with Christ. Now, a lot of people have a relationship with the church. They have churchianity. Who don't have a relationship with Christ, they've never been born again. And so if you don't have a personal testimony, it can start today. So if you're not a Christian today, there's a Savior willing to save you, and He will if you come.